We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome back to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. It's a beautiful day here in Plano. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome you. Greetings to everybody in the room and also those beautiful people watching online, listening online. Love you guys. What kind of church is Redemption Church? Well, I love to answer those kind of questions. Here's one way to answer it. We're the kind of church that connects to culture. Can you say connect to culture?
Connect to culture.
Yeah, we aren't just trying to get people to march to the tune of our beat. We are trying to go into their world and bring Jesus into their neighborhood, to bring Jesus into their language, to bring Jesus into the very needs and thoughts and dreams that they've got. And Jesus fits in all those places, doesn't he?
Amen.
We're actively looking for a way to communicate the gospel of Jesus to new generations. We're going to even try to do that today. In January of this year, 2018, we had a sermon series called Limitless. Hashtag Limitless 2018, all right? Vicky came up with that, I think. She didn't. I came up with that to torture Vicky. All right. We want to take a few weeks to make sure that you're still living the limitless life. Anybody living the limitless life?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. But we're going to do it in a different way this time. We're going to actually make sure you're living the limitless life by looking at some limiting behavior. God is limitless, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That ought to get a big amen. God is limitless.
Amen.
And we are made in the image of the limitless God. God has given us limitless power, limitless love, limitless wisdom, limitless riches. You are limitless. Say, you are limitless.
You are limitless.
You probably quote this verse often. I see it on t-shirts a lot. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How many things can you do? All things. You can do all things through him. We can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, we are limitless.
Right.
You ought to believe that. Yet, there are some practices. There are some behaviors. There are some habits that will take us out of Christ and put limits on our life. Redemption Church, do you want to live the limitless life of Christ? You want to do that? All right. If we want to live in the limitless, we need to lay aside some things, the Bible says. The Bible says that we need to lay aside the weights and the sins that easily get us off course, that cause us to live under limits. One of these limiting practices I want to talk to you about today is the comparison trap. Can you say comparison trap? Do you ever catch yourself comparing yourself to others?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Have you ever compared your finances to others? Oh, yeah, sure you have. Have you ever compared your car and your house to others? What about, now don't say this, gentlemen, let me help you real quick. You just look forward and you don't say a single thing, okay? Don't even flinch. Have you ever compared your spouse or your children? Don't, just like a steely gaze. I didn't even, that affected me nothing at all. All right, Sarah, my wife just said amen. All right, have you ever compared your body, your physical appearance to others, right? What about your abilities? Ever compare them to others? In fact, we are so silly that we will take the blessing of God and compare it to other people and what they've got. Is that very thankful? No, it's not. But we do this. Do we have this habit? So I want to challenge you today. Challenge everybody. Challenge. Two parts to it. Number one, recognize how many times you compare yourself to others. How frequently do you compare? Recognize it this week. Count it. Take a tally in a single day. How many times do you compare yourself to others? How many times do you end up coveting other people's life? Number two, I want you to pay attention to how it makes you feel. How does it make you feel when you compare yourself to someone else? How does it make you feel about yourself? How does it make you feel about others? Okay? How frequently do you compare, and how does it make you feel? This week, I challenge you to pay attention to these things, all right? When it comes to comparison, Scripture is very direct in telling you to do it all the time.
No.
Oh, I read my notes wrong. Let me do it again. When it comes to comparison, Scripture is very direct in telling you, don't you do it. Don't you dare compare yourself to others. Let's look at a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We dare not classify or compare ourselves. Is that what it says? Classifying, you know what classifying is? Classifying is that rating system. You know that rating system?
Yeah.
Right? Where you think someone's first rate and you are at best second or third rate. Or perhaps that you think that you are a higher class than someone else. You classify yourself. It's very destructive.
Yeah.
It is a bad thing for your life. We're talking about putting limits on your life. Classifying yourself will absolutely do that. In school, we're taught to classify ourselves. What grade did you get? What are the grading systems? What's the grading system? A, B, C, R, D. And we're going by that classification. How many of you just pushed for an 89.5 because it would round up to an A? There's no sense in knocking myself out for 100. I just need the 89.5, so I get the A. Raise your hand if you ever thought that way. You classified yourself. I want to tell you that there are some people, not everybody is gifted in every area, but we have these children going through our school, and some of them could be a world-class scientist. But we have taught them to just shoot for an 89.5 when they could be shooting to be the best of all time. Do you think that that's destructive?
Yes.
Absolutely, we do that. We classify ourselves. It's just enough to get in the right class of people. It's enough just to get in the right class of society, the right class of finances, the right class of grade in public opinion. It's destructive. It's destructive. And then that scripture also talked about measuring and comparing yourself by what? By yourself. When they measure themselves by themselves, compare themselves with themselves. That is like running a race all by yourself, right? No one else has run the race. And then after you finish the race, not only do you declare that you won that race, you declare that you are the fastest person of all time. Because who are you comparing yourself to? Yourself. Sorry, Usain Bolt was probably faster than you, right? People like this always crown their own achievements and don't think highly of others. Do you think that that's a good thing?
No.
No, it's not a good thing to compare or measure yourself by yourself. Galatians 6:4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride. Everyone say pride. In themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. Pride is, no, correct me if I'm wrong here. Pride's usually a bad thing in the Bible, right?
Yes.
Pride's one of those, pride, you know, a haughty spirit goes before the fall. Pride goes before destruction. This scripture, I sometimes reverse those. I don't know if I did just now. Forgive me if I did. I don't mean to be prideful. But we usually preach a sermon about pride is no bueno. Get away from pride. Repent of pride. But here he says something amazing. Paul tells us taking pride in ourselves, tells us about taking pride in ourselves in our actions and achievements. Do you see that? In other words, he says, take a look at your work. Test your work to see if it's the best work that you can do. Not test your work to see if it's as good as Faith's work, or test your work to see if it's as good as Jonathan's. No, test your work to see if it's the best that you can do. Then you can take pride in your work. Do you see that scripture?
Yes.
Guess what? Some of you have not wanted to take any pride in your work. You didn't want to take a compliment over the good things you did. Paul would tell you, no, you need to. If you are doing the best that you can do, you ought to take pride in that work without comparing yourself to someone else. Being happy for a job well done is healthy. Can I tell you that? Being happy for a job well done is healthy. You don't have to get a big head over it. But you can be happy when you do a good job, all right? But comparing your work to others, that is something to avoid. Because I want to tell you that comparisons limit. Can you say that phrase with me? Comparisons, they limit. God has given you limitless potential. He wants to give you limitless power, a limitless life. But if you get in this comparison trap, you better watch out, because comparisons can't help but limit. This month marks 2 years since I went back to the gym.
All right.
Pause for applause. No, it didn't happen. Oh. AG2G. All right. It can be very intimidating walking back into the gym after a long hiatus. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen in the house? Yes, absolutely. I'm preaching to you today. All right. I want to tell you about two limiting ways to compare yourself in the gym. I want to introduce you to the first person right here. If I can get some help here. Here we go. I want to introduce you to somebody at the gym called the house. They're called the house because they are as big as a
house.
Yeah, as big, a big house. They are huge. They have muscle, surrounded by muscle, with a little thin layer of more muscle. They are so strong, and they've got how much body fat? Like zero. Zero body fat. If you are brave enough to get close to the house, Shelton, you will notice they actually don't have earlobes. They have no earlobes. They actually have abs where their earlobes should be. These people are amazing. Has anybody ever seen the house? There's this guy. I don't want to make y'all feel uncomfortable, but there's this guy at LA Fitness that when he takes off his shirt in the locker room, the self-esteem of every man in that whole gym just falls to the ground, dies there on the floor, because the house, he is a force of nature. He is an absolute beast. I want to introduce you to the house. All right. These people lift big, heavy weights. Big, heavy weights. You walk into the gym and you see the house, and he is pushing 125-pound dumbbells. Dumbbells. Do you know what 125-pound dumbbells look like? Do you know how big 125 dumbbells are? Look at this. Look at this up on the screen. Those things are huge. I might could lift like half of that 125-pound dumbbell with two hands, maybe. But they're pushing it all over the place, right? And you see the house lifting this way. He is benching this stuff. He's doing tricep and bicep curls. He's doing all these things. And you have to work out near the house. You come in there, and there's the house. He's like, oh! And he's like, got these, it's like, oh my gosh. And you have to go over to the weights, and you have to pick up one. You have to go pick one up. So what do you think most dudes do when they're working out near the house? They start to compare themselves to the house and what he's lifting. So they go past the weights they probably ought to pick up, and they pick up other weights. And so you go like to the 25s, right? And you're like, all right, we're going to do this. And go, and then you go, oh no, I lifted something too heavy. And with the great walk of shame, the greatest shame there is, you have to go back to that weight bench and you have to put down that 25. You look around. You try to throw a distraction out there. Is that a fire? And then you go quickly and pick up the 15 pounds, and as quick as you can, you knock that set out. Because you are next to the house. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can't help but think. I know I don't look great, but I look even worse next to this guy. Here I am. I am right there at LA Fitness. That's me. That's how I've got another leg. There we go. Almost lost a leg at LA Fitness. People that compare themselves to the house will limit themselves. Do you agree? They will usually do what? They'll usually stop coming. They'll usually quit, never come back to the gym. They look at the house, and then they look at themselves, and they think, why should I even try? I'm just going to go back to the couch, the Netflix, and the potato chips. Happens over and over again. But there are other people at the gym that you could limit yourself to through comparison. Sometimes we walk into the gym and we see the mouse. Have you ever seen the mouse? Have you ever seen the mouse at the gym? The mouse is at the gym. Let's see, I'm not great at drawing mice for serious. Sarah, help me learn how to draw mice here. There we go. He's got a tail. All right, there we go. See, oh, nailed it, right? You didn't know your pastor. Don't compare yourself to my skill because it's not good for you. All right. We got the mouse. The mouse is he muscular or not? No, the mouse is not muscular. Now, mice come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Some are overweight. Some are just string beans. They are just bone and like skin, and that's all there is to them. The basic idea is this, that they are not very strong. They are in the area of the weight room where they have dumbbells that you could swear were made by Fisher-Price toys. Do you know what those look like? Let's see. Those exist right there. Aren't those pretty? Your kid would want to play with these really brightly colored dumbbells. The mouse is over there. The mouse is over there working on those dumbbells. Now, okay, so you see the mouse lifting this weight, and how do you feel about working out next to the mouse? Oh, you are excited to work out next to the mouse. It's like, I'm going to make sure I'm right by the mouse while I'm working out. You look so strong when you compare yourself to the mouse. You don't struggle like the mouse. You look over and go, having trouble with those weights? I'm lifting 5 pounds heavier. He's stuck on the fives. I'm on the tens. I'm doing pretty good, right? You're able to handle more strain than the mouse. But you can't help but think, you know, I know I don't look good, but at least I'm not that guy. Have you ever said that? You said those things, right? At least I'm not that guy. What is that? Is that comparison?
Yes.
Is this, I know I don't look good, but I look terrible next to this guy, the house. What is that? That's comparison. Comparisons do what? They limit. And I want to tell you that comparison works this way, and it doesn't just exist in the gym. There is a mouse and a house in every area of your life. Every area of your life that you live, there is a mouse and there is a house. Beware the comparison trap. You compare yourself at school. You compare yourself at work. You compare your finances with other people. You compare yourself at church. You compare yourself even in your home. Everywhere you go, all those situations, there is a mouse and there is a house. Not only do comparisons limit, the worst thing you can do is compare yourself with others. The worst thing that you can do is to compare yourself with others. Be really honest. Raise your hand really big if you can say, Pastor Fluitt, that's me. I've been doing that. I've been doing that. Come on, all over this place. Be honest. Be honest. I've been doing that. I need to stop. By comparing yourself to the house, what's the house? The house is someone, who has more strength, who has more ability, more experience, more success, by comparing yourself to the house, you will become discouraged. Absolutely. It'll take the fire out of your heart. There's all these people that they come up to the beginning of the new year and they go buy new shoes. They go buy new workout clothes. They go join the gym. They buy a calendar and they just mark out. They go crazy with it. They're like, every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to hit these special classes. I'm going to go. And then they show up to the class and they see the house. And it just all falls apart. That fire, that passion, that dream just dies right there on the floor when the house takes his shirt off. My goodness, that guy. You will not find the encouragement you need when you compare yourself to the house. You'll be embarrassed. You'll feel inadequate. You'll feel like a loser. You can't experience success as long as you compare yourself to the house. All right. The comparison trap has tricked you into thinking you can only succeed by besting the house. Right? This is a real thing. I walk into the gym with these set of goals, right? I just don't want to die early, right? I just don't want to be morbidly obese. Right? I've got to come in with these ideas. I want to be able to run around with my kids without like grabbing my chest like I'm having a heart attack. I want to do those things. But then suddenly I'm next to the house and I fall into a trick that says I'm not successful until I'm better than that person because I have fallen completely into a trap of comparison. It wasn't even something I planned to do. It wasn't something I tried to do. I didn't think I was going to do that. It made my dreams and my goals, which were lofty for me, by the way, seem stupid. That's what comparison to the house will do for you. That looks impossible. It looks impossible to best the house. And can I be honest? There are situations in life where you will never best somebody. I'm sorry. I'm all for believe in yourself. Just believe in yourself. That's really good. But sweetheart, you're probably not going to be better than LeBron James. I don't mean to burst your bubble. You might be better than LeBron James, but not just everybody can be better than LeBron James. In equal footing, LeBron James is an amazing athlete. But you know what? He would be a terrible racehorse jockey. He would never be the best racehorse jockey. His feet would be dragging the ground. He'd be looking like he's on a Shetland pony. That's what it looked like. You got to get over this thing because there's a house in every area of life, and you don't have to best the house in order to succeed. You don't have to be better than LeBron James to be good at basketball and to be a success. It is ultimately limiting to compare yourself to the house, but counterintuitively. It is destructive to compare yourself to the mouse, to someone that's weaker, to someone that has less ability, less experience, fewer successes. You will not find encouragement in comparing yourself to the house. You'll find other things. You will be deceived by that comparison. You'll start thinking that you're adequate. The wrong kind of pride will show up inside of you. You see, when you compare yourself to the mouse, you do not have to push yourself to be stronger than the mouse because you're already stronger than the mouse. And then you become overconfident and you become one of the nastiest four-letter words there is, lazy. You can't experience success as long as you compare yourself, say it, to the mouse. The worst thing you can do is to compare yourself to others. Luke 18, Jesus tells us this story. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself. Picture him. He's standing by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like This tax collector, did he say that? Yeah, he said it. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. The Pharisee was comparing himself. I thank God I am not like. And he has this list. And if that's not enough, Leroy, he actually points to the other guy in the room and says, not like that guy, the tax collector. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't even feel worthy to come close. He just stood at a distance. He would not even look up at heaven, but he would beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector, did he compare himself to the Pharisee? No. The tax collector compared himself to the holiness of God. Compared himself to the commands of God that he didn't keep. This comparison caused him to ask and to strive for God's forgiveness and beat his very heart while he asks. He doesn't even feel worthy. Verse 14, Jesus says this, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That is something good to remember from Jesus. Those that are exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted. We need to live those words of Jesus. Though the Pharisee, did he have more religion? Yeah, you bet. Did this Pharisee have more scripture memorized? Yeah, absolutely. Do you think he had a longer list of good works? Absolutely. I bet he actually kept that list too. Like he probably showed it to people often, right? But the act of comparison brought him to the wrong conclusion. Religion, not a bad thing. Having scripture in your heart, not a bad thing. Coming to pray, not a bad thing. Having a list of good works, not a bad thing. He had a lot of good stuff going on in his life, but the act of comparison brought the Pharisee to the wrong conclusion, and he left unjustified. You are limitless. You can accomplish anything, but if you fall into the comparison trap, you will end up limiting yourself. The worst thing you can do is compare yourself to others. But there is someone you can compare yourself to. And before you jump ahead, it's going to surprise you. Here it is. The best person to compare yourself to is who you were yesterday. I mean, it would have been really easy, right? Some of y'all expected, oh, he's going to say Jesus. That'll come later. Y'all wait. No, the best person for you to compare yourself to today is who you were yesterday. If you really want to see improvement in your life, raise your hand. You want to see improvement in your life. I hope everybody raises their hand right there. If you really want to unlock your potential, you want to grow in skill, you want to grow in strength and speed and knowledge, you need to learn to compare yourself today to who you were yesterday. This requires consistency. Number one, it requires that you stop looking at the house and you stop looking at the mouse. Who were you yesterday? Did you work hard? How hard did you work yesterday? How good was your work yesterday? How efficient was your work yesterday? Now outperform yourself today. Compare yourself to yesterday, today. Work hard to improve today over yesterday. Did you waste time yesterday? Yeah. Praise God, brother. Me too. All right. Do better today. Did you study and learn yesterday? Learn more today. Did you lose your temper? Did you fall back into bad habits yesterday? Stop that and do better today. Did you bring your best energy yesterday? Well, even if you didn't, bring your best energy today. Try to outdo yesterday. Compare today to yesterday. Make yesterday look like the mouse when compared to your effort today. Make yesterday look like a weakling compared to the strength, the focus, and the effort that you put into today. I want to talk to you about the slight edge. Look at somebody, say slight edge. Slight edge. The idea is that you are not the house today, are you? Probably not. Probably not the house today, right? That's okay. You aren't the best. You aren't the strongest. You aren't the quickest. You aren't the most skilled today, right? But by incrementally becoming better every day, by gaining a slight edge over yesterday, you will eventually become the incredible force you desire to be. No one goes from mouse to house in a single day. Nobody. Does not happen. Does not happen. I feel very firm about that. Nobody does it in a single day. But if you will work hard and not quit, you will succeed. Who tells us to do that? Well, the word from the Apostle Paul tells us that. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What is he saying there? Don't get tired doing good. Incrementally, just a little better every day. If you just keep doing good, what are you going to... Well, I did good yesterday. What are you going to do today? I'm going to do good. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to do good. What about next week? I'm going to do good. I'm not going to get tired doing good. And guess what? You will end up reaping a harvest if you do not give up. The house is someone who used to be the mouse. Isn't that the truth? But they just worked hard every day. So there's this guy. It's the shirtless dude. That guy, like, I'm thinking about him way too much. But that guy, I see him at the gym at the time I can show up every day. The earliest I can get there is 8 o'clock. He's already there. And he's on a treadmill. And he's drenched in sweat. He's just covered in sweat. He's already done his workout. And now he's just pounding on this treadmill. And you know what I never noticed him doing? He never looks around the gym. He's not looking around the gym. He doesn't know I'm there. Looking at the abs on his earlobes. How does he do it? He's not looking around. He's not getting a self-esteem boost by going, huh, check out that person. I'm running faster than them. Check out that person. I'm lifting. I'm the strongest guy in this gym. No, he's not doing that. You know what he's doing? He's thinking about how fast he ran yesterday. He's thinking about how much he lifted last time he was in there. And he is trying his best to outdo his yesterday. He is trying to get a slight edge on who he was yesterday. And here we all are just looking at him going, I wish I was that guy, without learning the discipline of that guy. There is limitless potential in every day. This is the day the Lord has made. And he made every day, and he put limitless potential within every day. But you have to work for it. Can you throw up our scripture memory verse? Perchance it's Colossians 3, 23 through 24. I was reading that with you today, and I was like, why isn't this not in my sermon? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. There's limitless potential in every day. If you will, whatever you do, what is it that you're doing? It doesn't matter. We got a school teacher in here. Work at it with all your heart. We got moms and dads in here. Work at it with all your heart. You're looking for a new job. You're looking for that job? Well, work at finding the job with all your heart. You're wanting to be a better Christian? Work at it with all your heart. Just work at it. Work at it and give it all you got. And work at it in a very special way. Not working for other people like human masters, but working for the Lord. We need to live that way. You must stop comparing yourself to others around you and start comparing yourself to the who that you were yesterday. I want to give you 7 quick steps. If you want to take notes, these would be great for you to take notes on. 7 steps to achieving a slight edge over yesterday. I actually got these from a book called Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. Number 1, show up. Don't ever not show up. Number 2, be consistent. Be consistent. Not just show up, but be consistent in what you bring to the table. Number 3, have a good attitude. 4, be committed for a long period. Not just for a day. Don't go on a diet for a day. Don't work out for a day. Don't study for an hour. Work hard. Become committed for a long period of time. Number 5, have faith and a burning desire. I would challenge you to have such a faith and a burning desire that other people sense it, they pick up on it, and it affects them in positive ways. Number 6, be willing to pay the price. Get over the idea that it's going to be easy. You're going to have to pay the price. And number 7, practice integrity. Admit when you are not improving over yesterday. You live that integrity every day like you are slightly edging over the other day. But if you aren't, you need to call yourself on it. You need to surround yourself with people that will call you to integrity. All right, everywhere you go in life, there is a house and there is a mouse. It's everywhere you go in life. Sometimes we are the mouse given the situation. Sometimes we are the house of any given situation. But whatever the present situation, none of that changes the fact that you've got limitless potential. Say it, limitless potential. In fact, say, I have limitless potential. I want to talk about Jesus here. See, we talked about a lot of good head knowledge stuff, and I hope it gave you some really good goosebumps, like, man, I can do this, because you absolutely can. But man, every sermon needs some Jesus on it. Can we pour some Jesus on the end of this sermon? Let's talk about Jesus. Is Jesus the house or the mouse? I hear a lot of houses. You're absolutely right. Jesus is definitely the house, right? He's definitely the house, right? He's God Almighty robed in flesh. Amen? Oh, can I get an amen? I'm talking about your Jesus now. He's God Almighty robed in flesh. Jesus has all power in his hand. He's the way, the truth, and he is the life, right? He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. All the things that destroyed every man, Jesus walks up the house that is Jesus Christ, and he puts a whipping on the devil and all his plans. Jesus can handle all your problems and save your soul. There is no weight he can't lift. He bore all your pain and your suffering and your sickness and your depression. All your problems that you're dealing with that you can't lift. He bore every bit of that weight on the cross for you. And he came up victorious out of the grave. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Oh, he's the house. Woo. No one compares to Jesus. Scripture says we all fall short of his glory. Romans 3:23. You compare yourself to Jesus, you fall short of his glory. When you compare yourself to his beauty, His love, His kindness, it ought to humble you, and you end up on your knees giving thanks to Him, repenting of all your sins. But Jesus, the house, was also born in a manger as a baby. Jesus came to earth, y'all, as a mouse. The quickest, the strongest, the wisest. God Almighty robed Himself in weak human flesh as a baby. Jesus, the house, came to earth as a mouse. Why did He do this? Why? There's a lot of reasons. You could really come up with some theological reasons. Well, to be the propitiation of our sin. You could, you know, throw out things like that, and that's true. Well, that's true. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it's a wonderful verse. It says that Jesus emptied Himself of His glory. He emptied Himself, making Himself nothing, the Bible says. He who is everything, He created all things. All things were made by Him and for Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. It says, Philippians 2, 7, that this Jesus made Himself nothing. Making Himself in human likeness, it says. Jesus is our perfect example in all things. And I want to tell you, of course, the propitiation of our sins, the sacrifice, the self-atonement, the atonement of His blood. But also, He came to earth, making Himself nothing, to show us how to live the human experience. How to grow as a human. Look at this verse, Luke 2:52. This Jesus who made Himself nothing, it says this, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now I want to tell you very quickly as I draw to a close here, I want you to understand this fact, that Jesus had divine power that He didn't use. Jesus could have used His divine power, but instead He grew day by day a little bit, a slight edge over yesterday, a little bit over time. He didn't do it in a day. He wasn't 5 days old and suddenly divinely know all things. No, He had the complete, legitimate human experience, and He stood in the place of weakness, and He showed us what it was like to grow stronger as a human. We love the supernatural, don't we? You better love the supernatural. God's supernatural, His name's supernatural. You have felt His supernatural presence here today. God does the supernatural, and we believe that He can do the supernatural in you today before we dismiss. We absolutely believe this. But do not disregard the natural. I'm going to say it again. Do not disregard the natural. There have been times in my life where I was asking for God's supernatural, but God was trying to get me to improve my natural. Instead of improving our natural, sometimes we just ask for God's supernatural. Like it's a get out of jail free card. Sometimes God is withholding His supernatural from you because it's time for you, sweetheart, to learn how to grow in the natural, just like Jesus. Are we doing our best to improve in the natural? Are we growing a little bit day after day? Now, we're about to talk to God. I want you to get ready to come talk to God. And when I say come talk to God, I want you to do it quickly. I want you to come like it's a purpose. I don't want you to do this thing where you're like, I don't know. You know what? If Marshall goes down and prays, then I'll pray. That's comparison. You know, if that person does that, if they go in the first 2 feet, then I'll stop all that stuff. Make up in your mind what you're going to do in this altar today. And then come give your heart to Him. I want to ask you, have you been caught in the comparison trap? Have you been caught comparing yourself to other people? Has it been stopping you? Are you ready to repent of that? Are you ready to do something today that repents of your past and promises God, God, right here in this moment, I want to be stronger than I was yesterday. Help me to be stronger and help me to walk in the natural. Help me to work harder. Help me to do it. These altars are open right now. Please come. Please come pray. Please come. If you want prayer, come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you today. Why don't you have a better prayer time today than you had last time you prayed? Why don't you do that? Father, I thank you for everybody in this room, everybody that's listening, watching online. Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of the comparison trap. God, I am made limitless by you, that I've got limitless potential in front of me. I've got a limitless future, God. Lord, forgive me, God, for comparing myself to others, God. Lord, forgive me, God, for classifying myself, God. Lord, forgive me for having the wrong kind of pride. Forgive me for giving a care about what other people think about me all the time. Lord, help me to go after you. Help me to be the best me that I can be, God, in Jesus' name. There are world changers in this place that have been classifying themselves too long. They have been aiming too low for too long. Father, in Jesus' name, get a hold of their hearts, God. Change them, God, to be the world changers you've called them to be, God. Lord, you've called them out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have created them to do exploits in your name. God, they are your workmanship, created to do works in advance that you've created. God, in Jesus' name, touch our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that everybody in this place would feel your presence, everybody online would feel your presence, God, and that they'd make drastic, huge, big God changes in their life. Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Come on, let's talk to God in this house, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.